Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
The goal of mitigating COVID in the U.S. has never been about reducing harm to people. It's been about reducing harm to exploitation, which requires walking a fine line to keep workers safe enough. The state has never been concerned with enacting violence, but it can't enact too much violence, or heaven forbid, profits could be impacted. The real genius of Joe Biden's presidency, from a ruling class perspective, has been in enabling the general population to choose their desired form of state violence. The red team can reject masks and vaccines under the premise of individualism and face the acute violence music that is contracting and dying from COVID. The other team, seeking to avoid immediate death, can choose to incur a different set of risks that play out long-term in the form of chronic violence.
There's a good contrast right here with chronic versus acute. Acute violence says you get sick and die of COVID. Chronic violence, which sometimes leads to acute violence, is that we're going to run untested vaccines over as many people as possible to get everything back to normal. And we're seeing that right now with Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer, where they're just stabbing people in the arm with what they think is a good vaccine, and it ends up having side effects that people weren't ready for.
So we saw the Johnson & Johnson vaccine pause that occurred a couple weeks and months ago, and we talked about it. And now we're starting to see some evidence in the form of an Israel study with the Pfizer vaccine that creates some probable link between getting the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine and an increase in myocarditis, which is the inflammation or swelling of the heart and its surrounding area, in males between the ages of 16 to 30, more specifically 16 to 19. The study author stated that there was a probable link of this occurrence. Now, we haven't analyzed the papers on this and as detailed as we have some of the previous science topics that we've gone into. But the point is that there are consequences to these vaccines.
JB, or Joe Biden, his primary objective is to persist capital. That's it. And he'll do that through, like you said before, both acute and chronic violence. We know that we have competing interests here, which is the health and safety of the entire world. You have people who are getting sick and dying of COVID, but also individuals who are getting injured from the vaccination. And those two that are in competition, it doesn't really matter what the outcome is, as long as capital persists.
Capital wants you, as a worker, to be productive, and they don't care whether you, as an individual, are vaccinated or not. As a worker, we really only have two choices. We can choose to forego vaccination and risk contracting COVID, or we can get the vaccine and incur some non-zero risk of the side effects. What's important here is that there isn't some third choice that involves no risks. Capital wants you back at work, so something like a lockdown in March of 2020 wasn't an option. The choice that you had to make results in some violence. There is some risk, which is fine with capital, but they have to be sure to walk that fine line. To be very clear, getting vaccinated is the choice which minimizes harm. But there were other potential options that were taken off the table. What we're left with is a situation where minimizing harm is just a return to standard labor exploitation and the chronic violence that comes with it.
There are lots of people who find themselves in tragic accidents because the person driving home is tired. Or chronic violence manifests itself in other ways, which is you're pushing your vehicle too far. This is stick with the vehicle idea, right? You can't get your brakes changed. You can't get something done that you need to get done on your car. There's lots of chronic violence here that leads to acute violence because it's manifests itself in tragedy over and over again. You didn't go to the doctor, you've been living with diabetes, you didn't go to the doctor, and all of a sudden you get nerve damage, and you're chronically living with that.
So the two choices that we just painted, where one is you refuse the vaccine because you believe it to cause chronic violence in the form of unknown side effects. Again, we're not taking a position as to whether that's an informed, reasonable stance. We personally think you should get the vaccine again. And the other position, which is I'm going to go get the vaccine because I do not want to acutely die of COVID. I will incur the risk of this chronic symptom-based long-term violence. And it's worth it because we get to go back to work and continue the exploitation and brunch gets to resume. These two groups can largely be defined as vaccinated people and unvaccinated people. And this is going to be what we think is a very clear delineation going forward societally. And we want to frame it in the context of, think of it as a black and white water fountain in the 1960s, but for vaccination status.
Vaccination status is a medical choice, but may not be part of a protected class. meaning that you may be discriminated against for or not having the vaccine. You can be discriminated against for having a vaccine going into a store. We have the potential that your life insurance or healthcare could potentially cause you to pay more for not being vaccinated, just like you would a smoker, you know, versus non-smoker.
So a couple of examples of a protected class are your age, if you're over 40, your religion, your genetic information, your sex, your country of origin, your veteran status, your citizenship. If you are a member of one of these protected classes, you cannot be discriminated against on the basis of being a member of one of these protected classes. And you'll notice that we didn't include smoking or non-smoker as a protected class because it isn't. Like you said, people that buy life insurance who are smokers, they pay more because statistically they have a higher mortality rate. The second concept among these protected classes is these are all empirical and observable things. They're not really choices. You can't choose your age. You can, to some degree, choose your religion, but there's a little bit of controversy and nuance to that. Can't choose your citizenship. You can't choose them, but they also don't cause harm to other people. Your age does not in any way, shape, or form affect the well-being of another. Now, if we look at the smoking example, if you smoke, you actively cause harm to another person. And the nuance about smoking is that you have to actively partake in it. You have to do an action to inflict harm that you have a choice to do. You can go to the gas station, buy a pack of cigs and pack them and then smoke around other people. And it increases their lung cancer rate and their likelihood of having birth defects, all that shit you see on the PSAs.
Yeah, they also steal resources away when it comes to medical care, which is why it costs more. Because someone who has stage 4 lung cancer is going to take a lot more care. Now, we do know that 51% of all cancer is caused by random things, you know, random genetic mutations, but the other 49 is somewhat preventable. And with lung cancer, a big chunk of it is from how you take care of your lungs, like smoking.
So the nuance we're seeing with vaccination status or mask mandates is that with smoking, you can choose not to do something, which is not to smoke, and you can choose not to wear a mask, and you can choose not to get vaccinated. But by choosing to not do something, you're actually potentially harming others. So the obligation of action is flip-flopped here relative to smoking, and that's an important nuance. With smoking, you can simply choose not to do something, whereas if you wanted to mandate vaccines or you wanted to mandate masks, you actually impose an action on an individual that they must perform. And for that reason, it's very unlikely that there will be some sort of vaccine mandate. But at the end of all this, capital wants people vaccinated because they don't want to give a shit about liability. They don't want to have to care. Capital doesn't want to deal with any of this.
So capital really wants everything back to normal. It doesn't like the uncertainty. And exactly, it doesn't want to care if everybody's vaccinated or if everybody wears a mask, then capital can get used to it. But if they have things like fighting amongst the capital classes to determine the best use of human resources or human capital, you know, manufacturing doesn't want sick people because it shuts down a whole plant. So there is a fight amongst the capitalist class, and depending on your sector, of what they want to see. And certain sectors are going to keep fighting it. And this is what capital doesn't want. They don't want the uncertainty amongst its own ranks.
So if we wanted to solve this through science, the mandate would be you either get vaccinated or you wear a mask. And to some extent, this is what the CDC attempted to do with their surprise announcement some 4 weeks ago. But they don't have any ability to enforce this. This is a political issue now. And we now have these two groups of people, which are vaccinated, unvaccinated, that literally fall along political lines. So our premise is that if you're unvaccinated, you're pretty much guaranteed to be a Trump supporter. If you're vaccinated, you're on the left-ish side of the spectrum.
Yeah, within reason.
Center-ish to left. We're not saying you want to abolish the state, but you're not far right is perhaps a better way to say that. This delineation is going to persist as a political force that is absolutely devoid of any productivity. Capital doesn't want to have to deal with it, but like you said, they want human capital so that they can make goods, so that they can make money. And the more uncertainty that is voiced on them in the context of what's our liability, do we need to deal with literally firing everybody that is not vaccinated because it's not a protected class and we can? Is that going to harm our profits? We don't know. We have to think about that now.
Is getting COVID disability now if you have lung problems? No idea. So that's one of the nuances here, is that there's a lot of potential fallout for willy-nilly defining like protected classes or not defining protected classes. Or they don't have to give a shit because in 2 years, it'll be gone and no one's going to give a shit. It's not worth doing.
And I think that's what everybody's hoping, is that this lasts for another month. Nobody has to actually make a decision about whether vaccination status is a protected class or not, or can it be shoehorned into another concept like sexual orientation was. You just simply, it's an open question that nobody has to care about. Capital is hoping that the problem resolves itself and nobody cares and they don't have to lobby Congress. They don't have to try and create case law establishing this, that, and the other thing. They just don't want to care. They want their workers to be back at work being exploited without this delineation occurring.
Most companies are not going to take the stance of discriminating against someone with the vaccine or without the vaccine unless it's monetarily beneficial. They don't have a reason to or not to unless there's literally money involved. If their insurance goes up 42% because half the population isn't vaccinated because they have your vaccination records because it's paid for through your health insurance, they may increase the cost, which then means it's beneficial to basically fire at the at-will employees who are not vaccinated.
So there's a free market cost-benefit analysis to all of this that companies might be forced to do, and this could potentially be an expensive analysis. I think at the end of the day, the least expensive option is going to be having corporations basically enforce a mask mandate themselves so that they shield themselves from liability. And it likely falls in line with the OSHA concept of safe workplaces, occupational hazards. Right now, there's requirements that you have safety equipment, your gloves, your face shields, your steel-toed boots. I think masks very easily fall into that legal construct. And it's a simple way for corporations to basically say, you got to wear a mask if you're not vaccinated. Same with food service people right now. They have to wear hairnets and gloves. That's already a thing. It's part of the safety construct. That's how I think this gets resolved.
It needs to be everywhere. I mean, it doesn't make any sense for your food personnel not to be wearing masks. I mean, come on. They sneeze and they cough. Like, wear masks during food making. I mean, doctors do. Why can't food service, right?
I think every corporation has the autonomy to enforce some protective equipment requirement. And if you refuse to wear a mask because you're not vaccinated, I think the easiest thing in some cases is to just you're no longer employed here. If you live in a state that did not make it a protected class.
What we keep presenting and what we're going to always present is a way for us to make changes without freaking everybody out. And so pushing for local laws that say your health department has to have wear masks for food service is a way that keeps pushing forward the mask mandates without tying it back to COVID. Because the whole idea of all this change is to make people comfortable with leftist ideology without hitting them over the head with it, because they've been indoctrined to believe that leftist ideology is terrible. In reality, what we're trying to do is find solutions and move us left without causing the public to hate us.
So on this episode, we've established that corporations do not give a single solitary fuck about whether you are or are not vaccinated, but they do have a profit motive in ensuring that you are healthy and safe enough to actually work and be productive. Looking at it in the context of this food service worker example, capital isn't going to go out of their way to make sure that food preparation is safe, but we could go out of our way to mandate that food service workers have to wear a mask. Totally unrelated to COVID, but it seems like a generally good idea, right? Wear a mask when you're preparing food. It'll keep everybody safe. Capital may not be supportive of that, but they're not going to go out of their way to oppose it because it doesn't really impede productivity or profit. Yes, they would have to spend a little bit of extra money on a mask for all of their employees, some negligible cost, but if it means that they can be open longer and service the general public and exploit their workers more, they're going to be completely receptive to that. They do not give a shit.
Capital doesn't care. And you know, we spend a lot of time talking about capital having no feelings. It's because they don't. Corporations do not give a shit about you and your health. They give a shit about you and your health because you are human capital and they need you to work. Not because you're a human being who has feelings and a family and you want to do stuff on the weekends. They don't give a shit about that. They give a shit only the fact that you have a work product, and that output of your work product gives them money. And that's it.
Your working conditions will only be improved if the improvement somehow benefits capital. In the case of COVID, capital has an incentive to encourage and support employee vaccinations because it likely mitigates their liability, not because they care about your health.
Capital doesn't care about the form of state violence. It doesn't care if it's acute. It doesn't care if it's chronic. All they care about is that the worker is in its place, everything is fine, and the money is flowing. That's it. And if they have to, you know, pay more money for the cops to go do acute violence, that's fine. If they have to pay more money for politicians to pass laws that allow chronic violence like pollution, that's fine. Corporations don't care as long as they maintain power.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.